current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's Word as signs of the times.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome in to Signs of the Times, our weekly look at Bible prophecy and the world's news for Friday, March 13th, 2020. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, our senior pastor at Calvary Knoxville, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for spending the next hour with us. Whether you're listening live on the air, online, or on the podcast, episode 116, later on in the week. The dominating news globally is the coronavirus. And this is probably one of the first programs that I can remember. I'm not going to say that this hasn't happened before, but one of the first programs that I can remember, if ever, on Signs of the Times since we've been doing this show since 2007, that really the entire theme of the show and all the articles that are popping have to do with the coronavirus. However, the focus of this show isn't going to be so much the virus, but the spiritually viral things that are coming out of it as a result that, of course, the media is not going to share with you, but Pastor Mark is, because God's Word does. So, welcome to the program.
Yeah. You know, Greg, I just...
And you're checking news and texts and things at this
very
moment.
I'm always just up to the last minute. And yet I had something planned that for some reason is not working. And that's why, you know, the technology doesn't always work. Sometimes it fails. But either way, when I look around what's happening, first I want to kind of break this up. We are going to spend the whole day in it, but I want to break it up first of all and trying to calm everybody down again, because the panic seems to only be rising. I'm not necessarily among believers. I hope you're doing okay out there.
And I would hope that the believers would be doing okay.
The world is going crazy.
Yes.
I mean, they're absolutely going crazy. It's like this whole thing where I don't know what the deal is. That's just a little bit of Chicken Little, and I just want to share some of that just as a reminder of
Pastor Mark coming with his own sound effects
for
the show.
It is, and it didn't work when I wanted to, but then it worked. Listen, I want to just say this again. I am not in any way belittling the danger toward the elderly in our community, and this is something that we have to say. Bottom line is, every illness we have to take seriously, and we do take seriously. I don't care whether it's the flu, a cold, corona, you name it. It has to be taken seriously because, you know, we love people. We care about people. We want to see people healthy. God loves people. And so we are in the business of loving and caring for those around us. But we have to keep this in perspective. And and we may do this every show for the next few weeks to start with on giving perspective, because I don't want to just, don't worry, we won't do coronavirus like the whole show every week. But we'll probably give an update every week just to keep everybody calm as long as the world's going crazy. Because you need perspective here. Now, let me just say, from a spiritual standpoint, there's something much larger than a virus going on here. This is a spiritual event, and it's a worldwide spiritual event that, again, is very much a part of the last days. And I believe that with all my heart. Prepping the world for the coming Antichrist, bringing the world together in forced unity, as we'll talk about as we kind of go on in the conversation.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theory thing. This is just reality of what's happening. And I want to get us back to ground zero here, reality for a moment. Because everything is shutting down. You know, the gatherings are shutting down, the NBA, March Madness.
NCAA, all the sports.
I mean, everything.
Basically just about every sporting event.
Yes, and I'm like, that's not, there's even, you know, other events, political events, everything is shutting down and everyone's panicking. And I'm sitting back going, Why is the panic so great? I just got, you know, you try to go shopping. We try to go shopping, and the shelves are empty of stuff. Even food now is starting to kind of clear out in areas. And there's nothing wrong in having a little bit of a, you know, week or two of extra food, some dry goods in case of emergency. I think that's wise. But the level of panic here is so over the top. And I think that's why, and it's worldwide, which Greg shows me this is a worldwide spiritual event. The enemy is using the media to simply make this worse and worse. But I want to give, first of all, a balance of what the reality is. Then look at Scripture on what it says about when the Lord comes back. We can all relax because it tells us that we're going to be fine. But note this again. I keep saying this statistic. As of the last time I checked, in America alone, we had somewhere around 37,000 who have died from the flu this year in our nation. Now, that's 37,000 just in America this one flu season. And sometimes it's been a lot higher. Here's your reality check. Worldwide, every nation on the planet, coronavirus. Grand total, 4,000. And I don't have the exact number. It's 4,000 or something. I didn't look it up. It changes, so I don't have the exact number right in front of me. I think it's 4,000 in the upper 4,000s. That's worldwide.
Number of deaths.
Number of deaths, yes. So is that bad? Absolutely. One death is bad. But guys, let's all take a deep breath and get some perspective here. Now, let's look at America. I'm not saying it couldn't get worse, but you can't tell me that America is going to have more deaths than the whole world has had, and we've got the best healthcare system in the world. I have trouble believing that America is going to have more than the rest of the world had combined, and we have the best healthcare in the world, besides Israel maybe. And here's our numbers here. Our current numbers as of this morning, it may have gone up. I think last night when I went to bed, it was something like 37 people, maybe 38. I think 38. I don't know where it is now. It may be as high as 39, 40. Maybe, Greg, you can Google that real quick while I'm chatting
sure.
here. Google that for me. Let's see what the current death total in America is. But with that said, here's what you need to realize. Is that one too many? Absolutely. But note this. 26 of that 37 or 38, whatever the number is, died in one facility. It was a nursing home. And what a horrible thing for so many people in that one nursing home to be wiped out. And that is, like, that's horrific. So, okay. What is it, Greg?
Okay. This is worldwide. Coronavirus cases, 142,783.
Okay.
Out of which 70,920 have recovered,
okay,
and 5,374 have died.
Okay.
And active cases, almost 66,500. Closed cases, a little over 76,000.
Okay. So nowhere near what the swine flu was in deaths, nowhere near what our own flu is here. Nowhere, it's not even in the same ballpark. So why is everyone freaking out? Now, again, let me go back to this. I was talking about the nursing home. Up in Washington State, 26 people in one nursing home. First of all, unbelievably horrific for those families. Can you imagine having your mom or your dad or someone you love in that facility and watching so many people in one facility die? That would be horrific.
Yeah.
But beyond the horrificness of that, let's get it in perspective. That means if there's, say, 37 current in America, which I don't know if we ever got that number from that, but either way, I'm going to guess that's what it was last time.
That was just worldwide numbers.
Yeah, yeah. But last, as I checked yesterday, I think we were at 37, maybe I'll say 38.
Again.
Yeah. Here's the bottom line. 26 in one facility. Besides that one facility, because it got in there and they were all closed in together, okay, that means 11 or 12 deaths apart from that one facility in America so far, which is 11 and 12 deaths too many. However, let's keep this in perspective. You know, we had 25 die in the tornado last week in Nashville.
Yeah.
Well, Greg, what is that number? Do you see
that
number?
Okay, this is from the New York Times. This is updated as of 12:30 Eastern today.
Okay. All right.
As of Friday afternoon, at least 1,714 people in 47 states and Washington, D.C. have tested positive for coronavirus.
All right.
And at least 41 with the virus have died.
Okay, so we're up to 41 now. All right, so you're looking at 26, and that's 15 then.
Yes.
41 is still a very low number. Comparative. Okay, I'm saying comparative. And only 15 outside of that one facility. Now, again, let me reiterate. That's horrible. I'm not saying that's anything to be. Look, these are souls that God loves, that Jesus died for, families that love them, and these are those that have a concern to us as Americans. But I'm saying, in perspective of the level of panic that's going on, for whatever the reason, it is out of control. Now, I have to say, why? Now, I will say this. There are concerns that the people that legitimately need ventilators and hospital will fill up quickly, and then others that can't get to it could increase the death numbers. That's a legitimate concern. But even with that concern, I don't think you're going to see thousands and thousands and thousands of people dying. So only time will tell how bad it's going to be. And so we'll hold off total judgment till we see. But I'm saying, where we are right now, everybody needs to just relax. And especially as believers, here's your verse for forever, but for the day and for the week and for the month and for the months ahead. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us, that is believers,
speaking to believers, yeah,
a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now note that. Power even comes before love, that he gives us power. That's to be confident. Then there's the reassuring love. And then there's the sound mind going, you know what, Lord, you are in control. You're on the throne. You're God. And again, I remind us, look, I'm not saying that everybody, okay, well, then death's not a concern for anybody in the world. I'm saying even if we as believers die, we win. We step into glory. The worst thing that can happen to this body is going to be the best day of my life. That doesn't mean I'm flipping about death. That doesn't mean I'm flipping about others dying. What that means is perspective. The worst thing that can happen to us is the greatest day of our life. We step into glory. And yet we have to realize we're not going anywhere until God says so. He has our days numbered. God is the one watching over us. He's on the throne. He's in control of this virus and every other virus. And we need to just rest and relax. And this is where the church needs to rise up, because as we see the world around us panicking and freaking out, we're going to need to be ministering to them. This is a time to share the gospel. This is a time that God's going to give us power to be able to go out in a world that's sick and minister to them and not be afraid. And if you're afraid right now, since God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, listen, that fear is either coming from your own mind, which is probably from the media or other normal, you know, concerns we have, natural fear of death, or it's the enemy. But it's not God. So let's get back to what God is giving us, which is power, love, and a sound mind, and let's trust him and just go from there. Now, again, that doesn't mean we don't use wise caution. Again, all the things you need to wash your hands, stay away from those that you know that are sick. If you get sick, don't go into your office. And all these things apply. We understand the basics of keeping this from being out of control. But at the same time, I just think we really need to relax. And I'm hearing things now, a lot of people, Greg, online, my understanding is on Facebook now, asking about rapture. We have a rapture book here at Calvary Chapel, Knoxville. If you have questions about the rapture and the timing of the rapture and how the believers, you can call here and order that from the church.
No, let's do this even better.
Oh, that's
Pastor
right.
Mark.
Go ahead.
Let's just go to PastorMarkKirk.com.
There you go. There
just
you go.
Go to the website, order the book online.
PastorMarkKirk.com. That's the easy way to do it. Yep. You order the rapture book.
Yep.
We do a full study on the rapture from the Old Testament all the way through to the New and give you timing and all these kind of things. We don't know exactly when the rapture is going to be. I'm not saying that, but you have an idea of what's happening. But I feel like what the first thing we need to do is remind everybody, like we did last week. I'm going to say it again. And then we'll get on into articles. But the Bible shows us that the world's not going to be wiped out. There are people out there, Greg, right now on CNN and some of these outlets that are saying this could be the end of, you know, mankind. This could bring mankind down and we're all done, blah, blah, blah. It's that kind of panic level. The Bible says that's not going to happen. As a matter of fact, even after the Great Tribulation, when all these plagues and all these, you know,
which are much worse than this.
Look, the rapture takes place, then there will be great catastrophes on the planet.
Yeah.
And you know, a fourth of the Earth's populace, even more, is going to die during that time. But even during that, when Jesus comes back in the second coming, there's still going to be masses of people on the earth, because it says he's going to gather them in Jerusalem to stand before him, and he's going to separate the sheep from the goats. And we have this whole thing there. But here's what I want you to know. In Matthew 24... again, Jesus told us it would be like a woman in birth pangs in the last days. And he said there would be earthquakes and rumors of wars and wars, and there would be pestilence. Well, this is a pestilence. He said all these things would be happening. And they're going to be happening at greater measure, greater increase as we get closer to the end. So it's what we expect. We shouldn't be surprised by it. But is it going to wipe everybody out? Absolutely not. And how do we know that? Because in Matthew 24, God, in the context of the Lord talking about all the last days events and the rapture taking place, right up to the rapture, this is what the Lord says, starting in verse 36 of Matthew 24. But of the day and the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That is of the rapture. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That is when he comes to take his church. For as in the days before the flood, they, that is the people of the world, were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken, another left. Those people will be at work. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. Normal life. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord is coming. Here's the point the Lord's making there. There's going to be normal life going on when Jesus shows up for the rapture to take the church out of here. That's the context of Matthew 24 in that passage, which tells me we're going to get through this. We're going to get through any of these last days things. And there's not going to be worldwide mass extinction and people getting wiped out until, because that is coming. But that will not be until 3.5 years after the rapture of the church. There's a final 7-year period that God has promised the nation of Israel. We are taken out at the beginning of that, where we have a 7-year wedding supper of the Lamb. 3.5 years, the Antichrist convinces the world that everything's hunky-dory. And then all of a sudden, sudden destruction comes upon them. And that's when you have the mass extinctions by, war, animals. There's going to be 2 meteorites and or asteroids flying into the earth. You know, there's one about to pass. Get this. There's an asteroid or a meteorite, something big that's about to pass between, so close, Greg, between us and the moon. It's going to pass to us. It's not like out there, it's between us and the moon. That's coming very soon. My brother was telling me about it. But I haven't looked that up yet and all the details. It's not going to be an issue to us now. But there's going to be 2 of them that are big enough to make it into our atmosphere and pollute our oceans and pollute the water. But that doesn't happen until after the rapture. It talks about it in the book of Revelation. So my point is simply this. We are going to see worldwide true catastrophes where, you know what? Panic's warranted. Chicken Little and everybody, you know, is going to be panicked, and for a good reason. But right now, it's simply fearful mankind and Satan manipulating mankind into this fear for a reason. And Greg, here's the ultimate goal of all of this. We talked about it before the show. It is the unification of the world as one, so that he can come on the scene and rule the world as one. Now, I'm not saying this one pandemic will do it. And by the way, a pandemic doesn't even mean it's dangerous. A pandemic just means it's all over the world. So when you hear the word pandemic, people panic. That doesn't mean it's, it's interesting. Pandemic has pan in it, mostly panic. But it doesn't mean even that's something to freak out over. It just means it's everywhere. But this is already being used to cause societies and peoples and free nations like America to lay down their freedoms, lay down their guard, to look toward opening up, ourselves to the world so we can all work together to solve this. And I'm not saying we shouldn't work together to solve it. I'm saying there's a mindset happening. There's a worldwide transition taking place that I don't believe will completely be done by the time this virus is over with. But Greg, it has started the process.
You know, for years we have shared with you, our listener, that the one world unification is kind of in 3 parts. There is the unification of religion, there's the unification of economy, and the unification of governance. What's interesting about the coronavirus is that it really tackles 2 of the 3 right there. It really tackles governance in terms of controlling for the quote-unquote safety of the people, and it's affecting the economy. On a global scale. And if you've been watching the news, you can see how that's happening. And it first started with the sporting events, and now I think it's trickling down into businesses. But Pastor Mark, as we look at this and we talk about the spiritual significance of what's happening,
right?
I almost feel as we've kind of laid out the somewhat chronological but not necessarily linear timeline of the prophetic timetable leading to the major events of Ezekiel 38 and 39, the rapture, then the revealing of the Antichrist, then the tribulation period, then the millennial reign.
Right.
I feel like on that prophecy road that we're on,
yeah,
this situation has kind of caused us prophetically, as we're walking down the street, we've turned on a corner, and we're now heading deeper into.
I agree. I feel a change.
I,
there seems to be a worldwide spiritual change that God is allowing the enemy to do here.
Yeah.
And you're right on, Greg. I mean, I feel it. It's almost, you know what? I felt a change when 9/11 happened. It wasn't just because of the fear.
No.
It wasn't
just
the fear of the attack. But there was a spiritual change. I felt
in
it.
Governance.
My spirit. I felt it. And I believe it was the beginning of the downslide of America as a nation that had followed God for all those years. And we've continued to see ourselves slide. And I believe what, here's my heart. We've shared this before on the show. I believe that God, and the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is restraining the wicked one until the right time. He's holding back the move of the Antichrist. He's keeping the world in check. And really, he's using our nation and our president right now to hold the world back, which makes our president Satan's number one target. Get rid of this guy. You've got to get rid of him. Listen, I'm not speaking politically, guys. I'm speaking spiritually. I don't care what party anybody's connected to. Here's the bottom line. God, I believe, is using our president to hold back the wave of what's going to move forward. Now, it's the Holy Spirit. The president can't hold back the powers and forces of darkness. I don't even know that he knows God. I don't know that. God's holding back the forces of darkness. What I'm saying is God uses forces on the earth to do that.
Yes.
He uses the angelic realm and then he works through people. And right now, God is using our president as well as Netanyahu, the president of Israel. They're holding back this unification. There's a protectionism of the nations. They're building walls for protection rather than tearing them down. Satan wants to tear all walls down, not just physical walls, but every other wall.
Legal walls.
Bring the world together.
Yes.
And so you see Netanyahu and the president, they're still protecting their borders, so to speak. And that's not just symbolic in a physical way. There's a whole protection of the nation. There's a mindset. That mindset's got to go. And I believe that's why you're seeing such a great attack on President Trump. I believe that's why you're seeing such a great attack on Benjamin Netanyahu. Because these type of individuals, for Satan to be able to effectively move forward, they've got to be removed or their power pulled away or something broken down. You know, we talked, Greg, about the never Trumpers, if you will. You know, that's a political statement, but in the spirit realm, there are people that have been lifelong Republicans, but they dislike the president so much, they're willing to lose every gain they've made in their political ventures to get him out of office. And we talked about that. They call them never Trumpers, and they'll do anything. Matter of fact, when this crisis hit and the market started dropping, there's actually some very wealthy people that were rejoicing about all the money they were losing. Not because they were happy they were losing money, because they love money. But they said, I would be willing to lose a huge portion of my fortune if it would taint President Trump and he would lose the next election. So they hate him more than they love their money. That's a pretty big statement.
That's a big statement.
Well, and that's why I believe it's spiritual, because that's not normal. Humans, they love money. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now let's shift over to Israel. Right now, you've seen the elections. Israel, Netanyahu celebrating. There's 120 votes he needs, if you want to call it that. Seats, people, groups that make up, the best analogy would be delegates. 120. He's got 58 after this election. Gantz has 55. So he's ahead 3. But that doesn't make up the whole 160, or 120. So where are the other 7? There's 7 missing. There's a slice in there. When you look at their charts, there's a slice, a 7% or 7%, however they break that up, slice there, where you have a group of right wing, I'm talking right wing, we'd say in America, Republicans, who have fought for Israel, fought for Jerusalem, stood with the sovereignty of Israel. They hate Netanyahu so much. They now came out today in Israel's newspapers. You can look it up on the Jerusalem Post and other places. They've literally come out and said, we are willing to give up our conservative gains and even put Jerusalem and our nation in jeopardy if it means getting rid of Netanyahu. Now, look, here's what this means. This is how drastic this is. This was, it's not logical. This is spiritual. Because here's what happens. They said they're going to give their 7 votes over to Gantz, which means Gantz will win and Netanyahu will be put out. If they do that, let me explain how it works over there. That means that the group that is against Netanyahu, there's a group that's tied in with Gantz on the liberal side, you would say, that hates Israel. There's Arabs. They're not pro-Israel, so to speak. They're against Israel. They want Jerusalem out of the hands of the Jews. They want it turned over to the Palestinians. They're fighting against their nation. Okay, they actually had somebody on the Knesset a while back that was giving coordinates to those on the border on where to fire their rockets to do the most damage, sitting in the Knesset. Okay, that's the kind of traitorism going on in the Middle East and Israel. Now, with that said, what this means is that small group of spies, if you will, those that are on the inside trying to give information, how do we destroy Israel? How do we get Jerusalem out of their hands? How do we bring down the nation and take it over? they now sit in all the highest level intelligence meetings of the nation. In other words, all the top secret meetings with the prime minister and their top, like our CIA, FBI, okay?
Right.
They're in those meetings hearing every detail with access to everything written, all the spy information, all the satellite information, all the plans of the nation. People that hate Israel and want to get that information into the hands of their enemies are going to be in on those meetings. Those 7% who know that, they know that. And they're still saying it's worth it to get rid of Netanyahu. Now, think about, that's not logical, Greg. This is a spiritual battle. We are in the last days. The process has begun. Now, how long it's going to last, I don't know, but I think we've ramped up.
Now, I would imagine that the number one campaign promise of any candidate over in Israel would be the security of the nation, considering what Israel faces on a daily basis. I mean, every neighbor around them hates their guts. With that in mind, if Gantz were to win, and we talked about this before the show, you said that there were some conservative members of the Knesset that are kind of like never Netanyahu's.
Yeah.
That they would be, they're willing to flip their vote or change their vote.
Yes, to put the nation in jeopardy.
To get Gantz in, just to get Netanyahu out because they hate him so much. So hypothetically, and because you follow the nation of Israel very closely in the news because of the prophetic significance of the nation.
Right.
If Gantz were to somehow win the election because of
they give their votes over.
They give their votes over. What kind of prophetic significance do you think that would have if Gantz is leading the nation of Israel when it comes to dealing with Israel's enemies, and more importantly, because we've seen this historically in leaders over there, dealing with the land of Israel?
Yeah, it opens the door wide up, Greg. What this does is that kind of leadership in Israel opens the door to a European agreement and union that would bring power for the Antichrist to come in and do all kinds of things in Israel.
But
divide the land up, make a Palestinian, all these things, state, etc.
Okay, so, but we always, then we go back to the scriptures and we see that we're always talking about Ezekiel 38 and 39, which is the wholesale invasion or attempted invasion of the country led by Iran and Russia. If you've got an Israeli leader in place that's willing to give up the land, why would you come in by force and do that?
That's in the second half of one of our articles.
Ah, fantastic.
Yeah, because the pressure is building. And you know what? When people have nowhere to turn, Greg, they do desperate things in desperate times. It's getting desperate for Russia. It's getting desperate for Iran. And again, we'll cover that more in the second half.
Okay. And we know that that's going to happen regardless of who's in office.
That's right, which means...
Just curious what you were thinking if Gantz were to take over. How would that help or hinder Ezekiel 38 and 39?
They still want to break into Gantz's house.
Yeah.
To get his goods.
That's true.
So that's what we'll talk about more. We'll get to the article because that really answers that. And so, you know, again, I just want to encourage us as we finish this first half, and we'll see how much we talk about it second half. We have other things to cover. We'll see if it goes.
Well, it's all Corona related.
Yeah, but that'll pull in. Then we have some other things too.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, look, everybody relax. If you're not walking with the Lord, this is a time to walk with the Lord. And, you know, unashamedly, the Bible says save some with fear. If you're walking away, you need to come back. And if you're hearing this today and you don't know the Lord, you say, I am worried because you guys sound like you're confident because you know the Lord, but I don't. It's as simple as asking him into your heart. If you receive Jesus, the Bible says you're born again. You're now part of his flock, a part of his family. That doesn't mean you're not going to get the virus or anything else that happens. It means you have a place in heaven. And now you don't have to be afraid. You can have great confidence in where you go when you die. This is not a time to goof off. It's a time to get serious about the things of God. And again, I think this coronavirus is going to blow over. Is this going to be the catalyst where suddenly it pushes the world into the end times scenario where we all unify? Or is this just a passing wind that's going to go by and now we're going to have some more time? My gut feeling is this is going to pass by. We're going to get back to normal again until the next big event. But one of these big events is going to push us over the top. We're going to get the right leader in America, the right leader in Israel, the right leader in Europe. And this baby's underway.
Yeah.
And look up, your redemption draws nigh.
The coronavirus is preparing the world for the one world order. And we've got some articles to discuss about that. And more about the coronavirus is Signs of the Times continues right here on WIAM. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
WIAM. WIAMLP.
101.1 FM, Knoxville.
It's Crazy Money Day, and today we're featuring Big Rob. Hey, I'm Chuck Bentley with My Money Life from Crown. 27-year-old Robert Gorodetsky, otherwise known as Big Rob, was charged earlier this year with fraud. He could face a 30-year prison sentence if convicted. Someone entrusted him with millions of dollars, believing the funds were being invested and earning good dividends. Instead, the cash was being used to bet on sporting events and to support Rob's lavish lifestyle. USA Today profiled him in 2017, where he claimed to wager around $350,000 on NFL Sundays and over $100,000 on individual Major League Baseball games. He relied on gut instinct. Now, that typically doesn't pay well. Big Rob's pride, greed, and desire to get rich quick led to big trouble. The get-rich-quick mentality is contrary to the good work ethic expected of wise stewards. This sinful attitude has several dangerous premises. You get involved with things you don't understand. You make hasty decisions, and you suffer significant losses. Trying to get rich quick is simply another form of gambling. In fact, Proverbs says that a man who hastens to get wealthy quickly will get poor even more quickly. And the root is pride. Proverbs says, pride goes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Now I hope Big Rob comes to know our big God, and that he surrenders his life to him. Only then will he come to know the true riches that are granted to believers. Now, if you're suffering from crippling credit card debt, contact Christian Credit Counselors. They'll help you make a payoff plan and learn how to avoid debt in the future. Learn more at crown.org/CCC or call the Crown Helpline at 800-722-1976.
A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor. What happens to you, believer, when all your common sense is gone and you're a game player instead of a standing firm on the things of the Lord? How is it that when your senses are gone, that you're going to be shown something that you don't currently see? And the only way that's going to happen is by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But how's the Holy Spirit going to get through to you when all you've been doing has been quenching the work of the Holy Spirit through your life? Just pouring water on the fiery work of the Spirit in your life, you're set up too. And the Lord wants you to see that the setup is very clear for your utter, total destruction.
You can learn more at edtaylor.org. Grow deeper in your love relationship with Jesus by visiting edtaylor.org. This has been A Moment of Grace with Ed Taylor.
Signs of the Times now continues. Here again is your host.
Welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Signs of the Times. This is our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, March 13th, 2020. Along with Pastor Mark Kirk, I'm Greg Hill. Thanks for staying with us for the second half hour, or if you're listening on the podcast later, whether you're listening via Apple Podcasts, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, we appreciate you taking the time to do so. No panic or fear here regarding the coronavirus because we know what the Bible says. And Pastor Mark shared a lot of the Bible verses that pertain to the reason why we can rest. Not only because it's in the command form that the Lord gives us, but he tells us what's going to happen in the future. And we also discussed the statistics that the New York Times reported regarding the number of cases and the number of deaths. So if you didn't hear that or you've just joined us, go back and listen to the podcast in the first half. However, Pastor Mark was just sharing something that's from the Centers of Disease Control. And this is where we're suspicious. We're not doomsday preppers, and we don't wear tinfoil hats and think black helicopters are flying all over the place. But we are balanced in terms of taking in what God's prophetic word says and seeing what's happening and seeing the prophetic significance. Now, we know that in China, the coronavirus is already on the decrease. They're almost back to normal over there.
Yeah, I don't know to what degree, but I know they're talking about opening factories back
right,
up.
And yeah, it's okay. So, but the Centers of Disease Control, now remember, you got to go back and listen to the statistics we're talking about. Very,
very limited number of cases. I think a little over 1,700. Deaths are at 41 as of 12:30 this afternoon. And now, Pastor Mark, what is the Centers of Disease Control saying to people?
Well, I mean, they have an article here from Drudge Report that says their concern is that there could be as many as 1.7 million deaths. That's the CDC nightmare scenario is the headline, 1.7 million deaths. And I haven't read the article, but, you know, when you think about something in that mass scale, 1.7 million deaths, and you're seeing something already on the decline in China, which China is one of the largest populations on the planet, and they only have, and we only have 5,000 and something total now worldwide. I just think that this kind of stuff is irresponsible. It creates panic in the, in the people.
The weather is going to get warmer. And the likelihood of this disease surviving in the warmer weather, in the thicker atmosphere, declines.
Yeah.
It decreases.
Yeah.
That's why you don't see the flu season is not during the summertime.
Well, and I can say this is one time where, hey, you know, I don't know about global warming, but I can tell you it's a real blessing right now in the sense of slowing it down, because that's what keeps this kind of thing from spreading. But either way, you know, I just think we don't know ultimately what's going to happen, Greg. And I'm not saying this isn't going to be something that'll turn to something worse. I'm saying this is not a world-ending plague. The scripture's clear on that, and this is just the beginning. This is the headwinds to the hurricane of the Great Tribulation.
Yeah.
And so what it means is, Christians, wake up, get ready, be prepared. And yes, in all these headwinds, there'll be some casualties, but the real activity is going to start later.
Absolutely. Okay, so as we get into articles that are related to the coronavirus and what Pastor Mark was talking about, the pressure that's on Russia.
Yeah.
And our first article comes from CNBC.com, dated March 8th. Putin sparks an oil price war, and U.S. companies may be the victim.
Yes. Remember, Russia's survival depends on the sale of oil, and not just the sale of oil. It depends on the sale of oil at a certain price. Vladimir Putin, again, sparking the ugliest oil wars in American history this weekend. Saudi Arabia dropped the oil bomb. It not only cut its forward crude price to Chinese customers by as much as $6 to $7 per barrel. That's nothing.
That's, wow.
But it also, I mean, they need something like $60 per barrel to survive.
Just to survive.
Over there, Russia does, I think. But it's also reportedly looking to raise its daily crude, or at least the American shale companies do. But it's also reportedly looking to raise its daily crude output by as many as 2 million barrels per day into an already oversupplied global market. So notice the price is going down, supply is going up. That just means the price is going to go down farther. The move by the Saudis is both a market share grab and a loud signal to Moscow that it's done playing games. The dramatic action is in response to a contentious and ultimately failed OPEC meeting in Austria on Friday. OPEC members laid out a proposal to further cut oil output quotas by as much as 1.5 million barrels per day. They're trying to bring the price up and keep it from going too high. It couldn't occur at a worse time. Coronavirus is already slamming the global oil demand, and crude prices have fallen 30% this year. Italy is trying to severely limit population movement in its most important economic region for a month, which is responsible for about 20% of the nation's economy. Put another way, economically, Italy is trying to lock down the output of California, Oregon, Washington combined for a month. Now, suddenly Italy gets thrown in there. Here, let me explain what's going on. We produce shale oil here, okay, fracking. And we're now the leading supplier in the world of oil because of that. We've passed everyone up because the president opened up the companies to do that, and it's rocking and rolling. Well, that means it kills everybody else. Russia's losing revenue because people are buying from us. It affects Saudi Arabia, but they're fine because they have so much money and oil output anyway. So Russia's like, hey, we've got to shut down these companies in America that are selling the shale thing. So we're going to drop the prices. We're going to get in this oil war, if you will, with them, output and all that kind of stuff, because what they can do is, it's almost like when a Walmart, Greg, moves in next to the local hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
The local hardware store can't keep up with the Walmart, and the local hardware store goes under. I'm not talking about Ace or some of the larger ones. I'm talking about mom and pop type thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of mom and pop, if you will, shell or fracking companies. Many of them may go bankrupt because of this. This will affect the output of the oil from America if they're successful. But the problem is, it's causing now an effect on Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia is saying, stop it. No, we're not going to stop it. So now Saudi Arabia is just pumping out piles of oil and dropping the price to be the Walmart to Russia. So everybody's trying to crush each other, and the result is going to be very low gas prices and great heating prices, probably for next winter if it stays this way. But overall, when it goes too low, it actually hurts the economy because it puts people out of business. Yeah. It causes bankruptcies. All these kind of things take place. But here's the point now, getting back to the prophetic view of this now, which we mentioned in the first half. Why, if you had leaders in Israel that were open to the world and unification, would Russia and Iran want to come in? Well, Iran hates Israel no matter what. Russia is going to get to a place to where, you know what? We can't survive on what we're making. We need to get what you're making because Israel's putting out piles of gas from their Mediterranean find they found. Now they've got the oil up there. I don't know if they're producing oil yet from the Golan or not, but Russia's got to start shutting down the competition or they can't survive. So they're going to be backed into a corner, not able to survive as a nation, saying we have to do what we have to do to survive. That could be the hook in the jaw that pushes them into Israel to take over Israel and take their oil supply and gas supply.
Well, and you've also got a world that's moving its transportation and other industries over to non-oil sources, such as solar, electric cars,
right.
Hybrid vehicles, things like that, all cut down on oil consumption
right.
as well. And I think, and I don't know what the percentage of that is, but that's doing nothing but growing as well in
right.
popularity and in usage.
Yeah.
All right. FoxNews.com dated March 9th reports that Iran's prophecy partner in Ezekiel 38 and 39, or Russia's prophecy partner, I should say, in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Iran has been hit hardest as the oil price war and the coronavirus
yes.
has crippled that nation.
Yes.
A 1-2 punch.
Yes. Now you take not just Russia, but Iran, the main leader of this invasion on Israel, and you turn the heat up on them. Listen
yes.
to what it has. The 1-2 punch of coronavirus and the escalating oil price is roiling world markets, hurting one country more than another, as Greg said. Iran, already dealing with the deadly outbreak, the Islamic Republic, heavily dependent on oil revenues, is in no position to deal with the lowest per barrel prices seen in decades. $20 oil in 2020 is coming, tweeted Ali Kaderi, a former U.S. official in Iran and the one-time Middle East expert with Exxon. Huge geopolitical implications, timely stimulus for net customers or consumers, catastrophic for failing petro kleptocracies, I guess you'd say that, Iraq, Iran, etc., may prove existential 1-2 punch when paired with the COVID-19. In other words, this is going to be too much for Iran to survive. Now, I don't know what they think is going to happen, but it's going to collapse. Iran's oil exports, its main economic lifeline, has been under siege for quite some time. Experts say the escalation of the global war between Saudi Arabia and the world's top explorer and Russia could cripple many nations outside Saudi Arabia, with Iran topping the list. Oil prices plunged 30%, the largest one-time drop since the 1991 Gulf War. Now, with oil trading around $30 a barrel, many experts say the price isn't one Iran can survive on. Now, remember, they're already crippled financially. Their economy is already a mess because our president's been squeezing them out, trying to get them to come to the table about their nuclear weapons and their dealings with Iran and the rest of the world. I'll go to this last paragraph. In addition to that horrific display maybe I should read this so you know. They're also
yeah.
saying that they're seeing with the coronavirus, they're not taking care of their elderly. They're just ignoring them. So they're having a large number of the deaths are in Iran because Iran is ignoring the elderly, letting them die. And the reports are coming out today. They're just building a mass grave and bury their elderly in the grave.
Wow.
They're not taking care of them. In addition to that horrific display, Iran Judiciary Chief Ebrahim Raisi said Monday that authorities would be releasing, listen, into the streets, 70,000 prisoners because of coronavirus and the outbreak. Raisi did not give details on when or if the prisoners, once deemed dangerous enough to lock up behind bars, would be released or what would be required of them. What they're saying
What's
is...
What's the point of that?
Well, they're going to die in prison because they're all together, so let's let them out.
But yet we're going to let the elderly,
now,
who've done nothing wrong... Oh, my
Look at
word.
Their nation. They're letting their elderly die. Their oil supplies are taken away, which is further crippling an already crippled government. They're releasing criminals in the streets. It is going to be absolute chaos. Now, you wonder, what would cause Iran to attack Israel? Desperation. We're seeing, Greg, the end times thing here, at least in these three examples we've given,
yeah.
it looks like the enemy is using desperation to get people to move.
Yeah.
He's using desperation in America to get us now to get more open to, let's all work together and maybe we need to kind
yes.
of link with the
yes.
world to solve this problem.
Yep.
He's using desperation with Russia and their oil prices to go, maybe we need to do something special. He's using desperation in Iran. And when people get desperate, they do desperate things. And so, again, I think we're just watching the heating up of this Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia, Iranian invasion of Israel. And it looks like this is going to be, whether this will be it or not, I don't know. But it's obviously the pressure that's heading us in that direction.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Businessman or some high degree.
Earlier, we talked about that threefold one-world unification, and part of that is a one-world government. What's interesting is that President Trump has recently declared a ban on travel from some European countries, and what do you know? According to Breitbart.com, the EU disapproves.
Yeah.
Brussels angry that Trump acted without their permission.
Yeah, and that's interesting. Now, this is interesting, Greg, even before I read this prophetically, because, again, remember, we know there's going to be a division between Europe and America because America's got to be done away.
Yeah.
Europe's got to rise up, and
yeah,
we've got to blend in. They're
yeah
going to become the bosses soon.
Yes, yes.
How that's going to happen, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yes, so they disapprove, it says, of President Trump's decision to protect his citizens from further foreign exposure to coronavirus by banning entry from most of the bloc's countries without having consulted with Brussels first. President Trump announced the 30-day ban on Wednesday, which will go into effect on Friday. The ban is limited to mainland Europe, specifically the countries in the visa-free travel area known as the Schengen Zone. I may have said that wrong. Schengen Zone, like France, Germany, and Sweden. The UK and Ireland are not affected. And the non-Schengen countries like Croatia and Romania as well. Non-EU countries on the continent like Serbia and Ukraine are likewise not affected. The European Commission, the EU's powerful executive arm, said Thursday, and I quote, "The coronavirus is a global virus not limited to any continent, and it requires cooperation rather than unilateral action." Notice this whole idea, European Union, cooperation. Come on, world, let's link together. You see the spirit of the Antichrist at work here. The European Union disapproves of the fact that the U.S. decision to impose a travel ban was taken unilaterally without consultation. President Trump said the temporary ban is a result of the EU failing to take precautions and restrict travel from China and other hotspots, which he said resulted in European travelers to the U.S. triggering infection clusters stateside. So, again, you didn't consult with us before you did this, and whether or not he should have or not, I don't know. But what here prophetically is interesting to me, you're now watching a further division between the United States of America and Europe. Eventually, America's going to blend in with Europe. Now, will America collapse and that cause a blend in, or will America choose a more socialistic, liberal top leader at some point that will gladly socialize or blend in with the European Union? And now we have the world combined.
Well, what's ironic about the whole thing is that Italy just recently quarantined their northern part of their country, or the whole country. What was that, Pastor Mark?
Italy, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they've pretty much kind of shut down. I mean, the whole country is kind of self-quarantined and regional.
Well,
yeah,
right.
I mean,
so President Trump was basically in doing a little bit of what Italy's already done.
Right, right.
But yet, it's not about the logistics.
Yeah.
It's not about the health or the safety. That's purely about control and power.
Yeah.
They're rising up. They're like that teenager that thinks they know it all, you know, and they're growing and they're going to mature. And like you said, they're eventually going to take over.
Yeah, they are. We're watching it happen. You wonder, how could this take place? Well, remember, America has been dominating. And with President Trump, America's really been dominating. Greg, that has to invert.
Yeah, that's got to change
at some point. That has to invert. It's got to switch around. We have to be the ones submissive to Europe. And Europe has to be where the strength of the world is. How that's going to happen, wow.
Well,
everybody just keep your seatbelts on and stay tuned because it's going to get interesting.
Nothing like a bloated pandemic to start tearing down some of those walls.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
Well, as if all that isn't strange enough, this is from BreakingIsraelNews.com, dated March 9th. This is a coronavirus story.
Yes.
A scientist suggests that the coronavirus came from outer space.
Well, again, see, this is
now.
Where
I read that and I laughed out loud when I was doing the show prep. I just literally just laughed out loud.
Yeah.
I could not believe that.
Yeah. Again, well, listen to what it says. Professor Chandra, I'm not going to try to say her last name, of the Buckingham Center for Astrobiology, and Sri Lankan-born British mathematician, astronomer, and astrobiologist of Sinhalese ethnicity, along with a collaborator, Fred Hoyle.
We can pronounce that name.
Yes. The two worked jointly for over 40 years as proponents of Panspermia, the hypothesis that life exists throughout the universe, distributed by space, dust, and meteoroids.
Oh, my.
So they believe that, you know, life's out there and it's flying around those little meteoroids, and if one flies on our planet and hits us, then we get their germs. In 1974, they proposed the hypothesis that some dust in the interstellar space was largely organic. Well, at least they're, you know, with the times. Later proved to be correct. Regarding the, again, it was organic. That's all they're saying.
Regarding it's non-GMO.
Yes. Regarding the, so it's safe to eat.
It's
so
safe
if you
to
want to eat,
yes.
that rock, you can eat that. Regarding the recent coronavirus pandemic, the professor noted that the most remarkable aspect of the outbreak was its origins localized to a specific province in China. The professor suggested that panspermia was the origin of the pandemic. In October last year, a fragment of a comet exploded in a brief flash in northeast China. So that's how they think it came in. And I'm not sure whether or not it was headed off by Iron Man, but we do know that it came in North China and had this germ on it. We think it probable that this contained embedded within it the monoculture of infective 2019 NCoV virus particles that survived in the interior of the incandescent meteor. Well, not to mention we've had the COVID virus or coronavirus. Thank you.
Yes.
For 4,000 years. I mean, we can date it back now to where the DNA wise, it dates back to 4,000 years, but I guess it came in fresh here with a new something or whatever is what they're saying. The professor said, we consider that seemingly outrageous possibility that hundreds of trillions of infective viral particles were then released embedded in the form of fine carbon. Man, this again, carbonaceous dust. Again, if you sound official enough, somebody will believe it.
Yes.
We believe it, you know, bad stuff. Bad dust.
Pastor Mark's interpretation.
Dust.
Yes.
It's bad dust. We believe infectious agents are prevalent in space carried on comets and can fall towards the Earth through the troposphere. These, we think, can and have in the past gone on to bring about human disease and epidemics. Now, I don't know whether there may be some science to that, Greg. I don't know if there's science to that or not. But it's interesting, some of the hypothesis of how these things happen. I would say, regardless of how these things are, here's how we know that they entered the earth. Sin in the garden. The Bible says when Adam and Eve fell, the earth was cursed. And then now you've got coronavirus and everything else because we fell in the garden. God has kept them all at bay. God has allowed, you know, man has gotten sick from these things. God didn't do it. We did it. And we've survived it now for these 4,000, 5,000, coming up on 6,000 years since the garden. And we're going to survive until the Lord says it's time for this thing to all wrap up. I mean, he said at the last days, it's going to get more intense. We're seeing that happen. And so while we need to be aware of these things and be cautious and be watching, there also should be a sense of anticipation that we're on the cusp of this whole end times process kicking in. And Greg, the amazing thing to me, when I think about the end times process, I always thought, look, Americans know the Bible so good, even unbelievers, they've heard of Revelation, that if the enemy tried to start this stuff, everybody would go, wait a minute. We get increasing wars, increasing viruses and pestilence. We got people talking about putting chips in the brain and on the hand, which, by the way, they are doing, and we covered last week.
Yeah, we did. Yeah.
You would think everybody, I was going, there's no way Americans are going to go, we recognize this. Even as non-believers, we're not going along with that. Forget it. It's almost, Greg, as if nobody ever knew this now in our society. It's like we have a new generation that is so biblically illiterate that it's almost like, you know, wow, a chip in the head and the hand, that's cool, dude. And the politicians, hey, that's really neat because that we can keep up with everybody and, you know, better on taxes and all kinds of other things. And then moms
safety.
Are going to be, yeah, safety, crime. I mean, there's so many logical good things about being able to scan everyone and know what they're doing.
Yeah.
But when you understand that it's a way for Satan to control the world, get the world to unify where he can declare himself to be God. I mean, it's such a sinister scheme. I'm so glad the Lord showed this to us. And while the world may mock, we're right on target.
Hosea 4:6 says that my people perish for lack of knowledge.
That's right. That's right.
And really, that's kind of what we're seeing. And when he says my people, now we see the world panic and we get that. But if you call yourself a Christian, you shouldn't be panicking.
That's right.
And so God's speaking to you about that. You're perishing and you're losing what Pastor Mark's a scripture verse that he gave at the beginning of the show was 2 Timothy 1:7.
2 Timothy 1:7, yes.
Mm-hmm. That God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And so when you're focusing more on what the world's telling you and not what the word is telling you,
right.
I think it would be easy for any of us to become panic or fear-stricken.
Right.
But we have to consistently remind ourselves of what God says about us, about his sovereignty, and about the time we live in.
Yeah, and you know, Greg, I think this is also a good moment to remind all of our listeners, look, if you fear death, you need to pray for God to remove that. The Bible says that the Christian overcomes Satan by their testimony and the fact that they are not afraid to die. You know, not a lack of fear of death is one of the ways we defeat the enemy. It's why Paul was so effective reaching the world. It's why Paul was so effective even in the prisons of Rome and standing before the emperors and all. Paul knew the worst thing you can do to me is kill my body, but my spirit lives forever. My soul goes on. Once you reach a place as a believer, listen, and this sounds crazy to say, but pray for God to remove, it doesn't sound crazy, pray for God to remove the fear of death. Because once you lose the fear of death,
you begin to live.
Peace. Peace comes. You know, you find out, oh no, I just came in contact with somebody that has a deadly disease, for example. You know what? You go, well, all right, it's time to trust the Lord. And I know that I'm not going till he says. And if I do go, I know where I'm going. Settle it in advance. And then when you face situations that can be scary or whatever, sure, you're human. You're going to have an emotional response. You're going to maybe for a moment go, oh my goodness. But when you go back to saying, you know what? I trust God, and I want you to know this, even whenever our time of transition is, whether it's by some accident or by some disease or a heart attack or a car accident or whatever way we go into the kingdom, old age, you know, a beautiful thing with family gathered around, whatever way we get to do that. The bottom line is, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God's going to be there in grace to help us make that transition. You know, it talks in Luke 16 about when Lazarus died, it says the angels escorted Lazarus into paradise. And when Stephen was being killed by rocks, they're throwing rocks at him and killing him, stoning him to death there in Jerusalem. It says before he died, he looked up and he saw the Lord standing up ready to receive him. What the evidence we see in Scripture is that God, our comforter, the Holy Spirit, is there comforting us, and God is there to escort us, the Lord himself, the angels. I mean, and so there's this whole, you know, it's like, you know what? It's going to be okay. And you get a new body. You get a new kingdom. We're going to be on this earth, coming back after the wedding supper of the Lamb for 7 years, celebrating, rejoicing. We'll come back to the earth. We will rule and reign on this restored earth for 1,000 years. And then God's going to make a brand new heaven and earth, it tells us, at the end of that 1,000 years. And we will live there forever. And by the way, once we're done with this body, there's never again sickness. There's never again worry. There's never again sorrow. There's never again a concern about who's got what or who's spreading what. You know what it is? It's just worship and praise and glory and fun and excitement. And it's like, I mean, boy, you can get lost in what's waiting on us if you'll focus on the right things. And I want all of you as believers out there, let's get our eyes on the Lord. Turn your eyes to Jesus right now. Relax. You know, go stack up your toilet paper and make a good seat. Sit down on that stack of toilet paper. Have a nice bottle of water from your stack of water.
Oh, my.
Pull out all the bread and the milk and just praise the Lord. And know that he is going to take care of you and that everything is going to be fine. Now, that may not have been the best way to present it, but you get my point. Let's trust the Lord, guys. Be praying for America. Be praying for those that are sick. Be praying for our leaders. Be praying for our president to give him great wisdom. How many of us would know what to do in a crisis like this as the leader of the greatest nation on the planet? So let's be lifting up our leaders, and God have mercy on President Trump and on all of our leaders. Give them wisdom and give them grace. Give our state leaders wisdom and grace. Give our church leaders wisdom and grace. Give our fathers and mothers wisdom and grace in our homes. And I just want to say, you know what? Let's finish with the Aaronic blessing upon all of our listeners. This is the Lord's heart for you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and give you peace. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you guys. Take it serious. Be smart. Realize we're in the last days. Love people. Share the gospel. Be ready to help. Pray to lose your fear of death. And don't be afraid you're going to die. Because God is the one that preserves you, and he holds your days. He is our good shepherd watching over the flock, and we can trust him. Let's rest in our God.
You can listen to this program again or listen to previous episodes, subscribe to our podcast, read the articles that we discuss every week, or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question simply by going to thesigns.org. We trust that you've taken Pastor Mark's words to heart and God's word to heart as well. Have a great weekend, and we will be back next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times right here on WIAM.